Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report, and this is Dr. Lee for America with the International Report and our international team, Dr. Mike Yeadon from the UK and Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe from Sweden. We are really outraged at the latest examples of the WHO, World Health Organization, tyrannical control and suppression of freedom that have just been on display with the 77th meeting late May of the World Health Organization. Basically, the WHO has steamrolled through amendments to the 2005 health regulatory agreements, and one of those amendments is now threatening the arrest of anyone who speaks out against the avian flu experimental vaccines that are being pushed worldwide in this ginned-up fear-mongering about avian flu, and we'll talk more about that in the course of today's show. That in itself was chilling in the concern about doctors and scientists trying to speak the truth about the risk of the vaccines and for people who are sick with these respiratory illnesses. There are plenty of good, safe, older medicine treatments that you don't even need an experimental vaccine if you're worried about it. Don't give in to the fear-mongering, because we're going to talk more specifically in today's show about exactly how they are ginning up the fear in an orchestrated campaign. And then the other tyrannical move that took place during the WHO meeting, which Dr. Gilthorpe will tell us more about, is the WHO was using tactics to threaten delegates if they did not agree to sign the International Health Regulatory Amendments. And that was the behind the scenes, under the radar, closed door subterfuge that was going on during the meeting, while they said publicly the WHO pandemic treaty was failing because countries objected to some of the provisions. What they did not tell you, and what the media colluded to keep quiet, was the fact that they rammed through with threats and coercion the amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulatory Agreements that tightened the noose and tightened the vise on tyranny. So with that, we do want to discuss what's happening that is creating another climate of fear, an orchestrated campaign of fear-mongering about another pandemic, and using avian flu as the vehicle to scare you. And we'll talk about that. We also want to bring up some of the new developments. California, in California, and we'll provide the links to the background on this. A court has finally ruled that the COVID shots are not vaccines because they do not protect from transmission. And we'll share more about that ruling. Germany is striking back against the U.S. attempt to hide the existence of the United States mind control technologies, and we have a link to the research on that as well. And then we want to discuss the recent testimony from Dr. James Miller.
That sounds really bright.
And Dr. James Miller is a trauma surgeon in Washington State who has gone on the record discussing the cruelty towards unvaccinated patients during the COVID era. And it is still happening today. The Substack by a Midwestern doctor has given us the full testimony and the affidavit for court from Dr. James Miller. And we're going to put the link in the show notes so that all of you can read it. It is a very chilling indictment of the medical profession's failure to honor its Hippocratic Oath. And we at Truth for Health Foundation, we're exposing this throughout the COVID era for the last 4 years with press conferences and editorials and programs on the hospital homicides under the COVID death protocols. So this is an update on that front as well. So let's talk about the WHO meeting. Dr. Gilthorpe, you have a lot of insights. You've been following it very closely, and I know you and Dr. Eden have a lot of concerns about the way in which they have been bullying delegates and steamrolling through the amendments to the International Health Regulatory Agreements. So let's talk more about these particular aspects of what just took place at the end of May 2024.
Yes, Dr. Lee, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for welcoming me to the show. It's very always a pleasure to be here and talk to the world about what's going on, at least from my eyes and my perspective. And yeah, there was a lot of focus. We brought this up many times about the World Health Assembly, the 77th World Health Assembly, where the WHO were trying to ram through changes to the international health agreements and this new pandemic treaty. Well, there is good news because the pandemic treaty has failed in its current form. So I think that wasn't passed. They did pass changes to the international health regulations. And this was, I think, illegal because, you know, there was meant to be 4 months before the vote on these changes at the World Health Assembly. And they were still trying to come up with some quick fix scheme at the 11th hour, even during the meeting. So, you know, Tedros came online and said it was a great success, but that's absolutely not. This was a victory, I think, or a small victory for all of us that have stood up against this and raised our concerns, because had we not done that, you know, and people leading like Meryl Nass and James Rogowski, informing people what was going on, these would have passed, and they didn't. So, or they passed in a much diluted form. So I think we should all take heart from that and see that this is a small victory in a greater war, but it should give people the resolve to push forward, because it really means that people power does work still. Anyway, there's an article which we'll post in the show notes by Shabnam Palesa Mohammed. She's a lawyer from South Africa, I think, and I think she lives in Sweden, actually. And she posted an article from Geneva, where she went through, and it's entitled, "Why is the WHO allowed to threaten member states into giving up sovereignty?" So what she documented in that post is a number of actions by the WHO where they actually threatened member states in order to get them to try and vote in the way that they wanted to. For example, certain delegates were only able to buy one-way ticket to Geneva, and not buy a return ticket, or, you know, the funding for their return wasn't guaranteed unless they voted in a certain way. And there was also cases, for example, of them threatening countries, you know, say that, you know, you won't be able to travel, we'll shut you down, and, you know, travel from your country won't be allowed, for example, things like this. So it's absolutely outrageous that the WHO or whoever's behind them are using these dirty tactics. But fantastic that these have been documented, and documented by very, very solid lawyers, which I hope will take these forward and use it to expose the kind of corruption that's going on in this great globalist pantomime that we're all involved in.
That's a good way of describing it. Dirty tactics. And the fact that countries who are members of the World Health Organization are not up in arms about this kind of threats and bullying and holding the delegates hostage for their vote and not letting them have a return ticket. I mean, this is unheard of in the civilized world. And it just is appalling how quickly we have degenerated from the World Health Organization years ago as an advisory agency only, to now the World Health Organization is a global tyrant bully engaging in dirty tactics and extortion to get a vote. That's the bottom line here.
Yeah, this is Mike. If I may just comment, I pointed out before that the very idea of centralizing, as it were, global health in one organization or one committee or even one individual is such a crazy one that I'm really terrified that people aren't spotting this. So I just point out simple logic here that if something new in the world, a new health threat arises in the world, by definition, no one has the knowledge as exactly what to do. And the idea that, well, we'll just all wait until some guy in Geneva tells us what to do is nonsense, isn't it? Humans have had a mechanism for coping with things like this for millennia. And it's that people do the best they can with the knowledge they've got where they are, and they communicate outcomes floridly with each other. That way, you quickly learn the 10 things that have been tried and which three were the best and which two were the worst. So that's what we should carry on doing. The idea that somehow, because we've had a pandemic, which is a lie, that in case we have another one, we need to centralize the response. It's illogical. If it was a new threat, nobody would know what the right thing to do is. And if you let one group or person decide it, you won't even know what the right thing to do was at the end of it, because you won't run lots of experiments. You'll do what they tell you. So the whole thing for me doesn't, I don't need to argue about the international health regulations or the pandemic treaty. The entire thing is a power grab to the center based on, you know, the idea that, well, one person in the center will know what to do. No, they won't. People listening will know what I said was true. A new threat doesn't have an answer. We're good at working it out and sharing the results. And that's what we should carry on doing. So I agree that their behavior is already nakedly dictatorial and totalitarian, which is what we've been saying for years they're up to.
Well, yes, all of us have been describing the World Health Organization dictator Tedros, and it has become so blatant now that it's difficult for anyone to really ignore it or accuse us of being a conspiracy theorist. It's a conspiracy fact that Tedros is a world dictator wannabe. Dr. Gilthorpe, you had a comment.
Yeah, absolutely, Dr. Lee. I mean, Tedros was obviously put in that position to fulfill a role, and he's not doing it very well, it has to be said, because he doesn't have concordance with the member states in any way, shape or form. And all he seems to want to do is you know, go on about how misinformation and disinformation is undermining healthcare, which is somewhat hilarious because that's all the WHO seems to be spreading at the moment. There was a very good article from Dr. David Bell, and he's an MD and PhD Australian, and he actually worked for the WHO for 9 years before, and also for the Gates organization. So he is actually very qualified to talk about what the WHO does well and should not do. And he wrote a good short summary of the WHA and what was you know decided with these IHR amendments and what the threats were. I'll just read a quick quote from that. And he said, you know, they add catchy phrases like equity in the context of intent to push commodity-based responses, that's vaccines basically, and restrictions of freedom that clearly increase inequity, and emphasize the need of low-income countries whilst commoditizing pandemic responses for the benefit of Western institutions. But the key thing that they did manage to push through here, which everyone should be aware of, is surveillance. So under identifying threats early and responding, which seems, you know, a good thing that you might want to respond early if a threat did appear. But what they're really trying to do under the guise of this is to restrict what they call, you know, misinformation, disinformation. So they're trying to give themselves powers in order to prosecute people if they spread misinformation, which is actually, let's flip it around, it's truth. If people spread information that says actually H5N1 bird flu is not a great threat to anyone, then those people may, you know, be censored, be arrested, be put in jail, and, you know, who knows? We've seen cases of this under COVID-19 in Germany, particularly, where certain people were prosecuted for spreading misinformation. For example, Susret Bakhti was put on trial, and other people. So depends on the country you live in, of course, but this is now probably going to be rolled out as a more global thing in anyone raising their voice to say, you know, there is no great threat from a new pandemic. And if there is a disease that spreads very wildly, that's very deadly, it won't get very far, because that's just, you know, biology states that cannot happen. So watch out for censorship is what I would say.
So censorship and suppression of freedom is also, along with that, is using identifying the threats early as an excuse for contact tracing and surveillance for travelers.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that this, you know, we talked about bird flu, H5N1 bird flu, the narrative being ramped up even pre-World Health Assembly, but suddenly post-World Health Assembly in the last week, the level has gone up dramatically. So there was an alleged, there have been several cases in the US. They claim that raw milk, as we talked about before, is a potential, you know, source of contamination or infection. So therefore, raw milk supplies need to be shut down or regulated more than they are already. And that there was this case in Mexico just this last week where a person died, which was then claimed to be due to H5N1. The WHO came out and stated that publicly. But then Mexico turned around and said, no, actually, this person was, you know, had several comorbidities. They were extremely ill and they were PCR positive for H5N1 flu, and they didn't actually die of it. So the WHO has egg on their face for trying to call that as a case of transmission to human and death. But they'll keep doing that in the next week or so. You'll see now the IHRs have been passed. They'll try to use H5N1 as a new pandemic, and we just need to get the word out and call them out, exposing the false narratives which they keep pushing and refuse to comply with any stupidity that comes down the road. But there are more vaccines in the pipeline for this particular form of alleged avian influenza. So, you know, there will be certain countries that try to push ahead with that. Finland are already doing that. They've offered vaccines up for H5N8. It's not even for this particular variant of avian flu, which they're going to push on to people that work in healthcare, but also people that work in the poultry industry and in mink and fur farms, because there have been in the last year outbreaks of avian flu in these contexts, or at least, you know, diagnosed through PCR and sick animals. And I think this is actually going to lead to more cases potentially from animal to human transmission, because if you give someone a suboptimal vaccine that also makes them sick, there's a lot of side effects from the adjuvant that's used in this particular influenza vaccines that a particular company has the patent on, and this is the one they claim works. You're going to make people unhealthy and not well, and then you're going to put them in a context with a high density of animals in a farm in a stress situation. I think that's more likely to make, you know, animal to human transmission than not. It for me, it looks like, you know, the use of COVID vaccines and remdesivir and, you know, drugs that also potentially made viruses more transmissible, although, you know, people can have their particular view on whether that's possible or not, but this isn't a good strategy, I think, at all.
Well, speaking as a physician, I would agree with you on that. And actually, I talked with a number of veterinarians in 2020 who confirmed what you just described, that is an issue and something they've known in veterinary medicine for a while. And we can go into that another time. But what I wanted to ask you, could you talk more for our listeners about the adjuvant that makes people sicker in the particular product that you mentioned? I'm curious whether that's a product that's available in the U.S. We have supposedly three vaccines claimed to have benefit for avian flu. I don't agree that people need a vaccine for that. I think we have, if someone is sick with a respiratory illness, there are lots of other treatments that don't involve experimental injections with potentially dangerous adjuvants. But would you talk about that? What you
yeah,
are
I can,
aware of?
I can mention that, Dr. Lee. So the bird flu vaccine is comes from a company called, I've forgotten the name, CSL something. What they have is the patent on a particular adjuvant. And in human trials, there were five times more as many people that got the Ordence bird flu vaccine versus the placebo died. So it doesn't look it's terribly good. It's Seqirus is the name of the vaccine. It's for H5N8, not H5N1. And the adjuvant is something called MF59C1, and it's improved for use in children of 6 months of age or above, in adults and the elderly. But some of the side effects are blood and lymphatic system disorders, lymphadenopathy, immune system disorders, so allergic reaction, anaphylaxis, dyspnea, bronchospasm, laryngeal edema, in rare cases leading to shock. Nervous system disorders, including headache, dizziness, syncope, neurological disorders, including neuralgia, paresthesia, convulsion, neuritis, etc. You know, you've got cardiac, cough. So this is not a very good chemical to be putting in your body, I would say. And it looks also to me like the swine flu pandemic 2009, when, you know, they brought out this quite powerful adjuvant, which was derived from shark fin, I think. And that led to an awful lot of side effects, just the adjuvant itself. We're not talking about any antibody reaction or what effects the vaccine might have on the body. This is just the thing used to, you know, trick your immune system into reacting hard against whatever they put in there. So I can provide a link to that, Dr. Lee, and people can read about it if they want to.
Yes, I would very much like to have that link for our show notes, but also I want to look into it in more detail, because I remember the reactions to swine flu in 2009, and I was advising my patients then not to get that shot. There was a very high incidence of Guillain-Barré ascending paralysis that killed people as well as left people permanently neurologically impaired. And they ultimately pulled that off the market fairly quickly, yeah. Unlike the COVID shots, where the death toll and the damage and the permanent debilitating consequences have just been mounting over time, and they've done nothing about it.
Yeah, well, MF59, it is squalene, so I think it probably is related to the one used in the swine flu vaccines. It's Novartis have got the proprietary, they've got the IP on it, and it's used in influenza vaccines to try and stimulate an immune response. And I don't know exactly if it's the one that was used in the swine flu vaccines or not, but it's related.
Well, I would like to have any references you have on that, and we can include those resources in the show notes. Let's take a break here, and then we'll come back and talk about some of our other topics after the break. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org and check out our high quality professional formulas and good manufacturing practices, compliant nutraceuticals and vitamins that I stand behind because I have researched them very carefully. I'm taking a lot of them myself, and our patients are doing better. And we have a lot of product information available in our store for you to read about all of the ingredients, full disclosure, and understand how they work together to improve your health and resilience. And all the profits go to support the public charity. I make no money on the sale of products from our store. And I want you to know that when you buy nutraceuticals from Truth for Health Foundation store, you are supporting our charitable work and supporting the health and resilience of your body. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
True Bio D3, available only at truthforhealthstore.com, contains vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, and convenient soft gels. Our vitamin D3 is the bioidentical form of vitamin D, synthesized in the body from cholesterol following activation by UV rays in sunlight. This form is excellent for maintaining healthy levels of vitamin D in the body. And mounting evidence suggests vitamin D not only plays an important role in maintaining bone health, but also in supporting immune, neurological, musculoskeletal, cellular, and cardiovascular health too. Get your bottle of True Bio D3 only at truthforhealthstore.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report, our international team with Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe and Dr. Mike Yeadon from Sweden and the UK, respectively. And then I'm Dr. Lee for America, practicing physician here in the United States and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. We're glad you joined us, and we look forward to having you check out all of our whistleblower reports at truthforhealth.org. So let's talk a little bit more about what Germany is doing to strike back against the U.S. attempts to hide the existence of the U.S. mind control technologies, and the United States' closing statement about the national statement for the international health regulatory amendments and agenda items that were discussed as part of the WHO assembly in late May. And your comment that this is not about pandemics. So Dr. Gilthorpe, bring us up to speed on what you've shared with me about these developments. And then we'll together talk about some of the other topics that we had planned for today.
Yeah, Dr. Lee, so this was an article a friend sent me actually from globalresearch.ca, which is a news outlet, independent, I think. I'm not sure exactly who runs it, but so the title of the article was Germany Strikes Back Against the US Attempt to Hide the Existence of Mind Control Technologies. And this is from the 4th of June. So it said in the intro, since December 2023, the European Union worked on legislation that should protect people's bodies, brains, and their thoughts against remote attacks by neurotechnologies. But on January the 26th, 2024, US President Joe Biden released a statement where he announced a temporary pause on pending decisions of liquefied natural gas exports. Among others, it pertained to CP2 project in Cameron Parish, Louisiana, which should provide German company Security Energy for Europe, GmbH, with 2.25 million tons per year of liquid natural gas. This decision meant that by the end of the decade, the growth of EU's economy could be stopped by shortage of gas, and the EU effort to ban the use of remote mind control technologies was, for that matter, stopped as well. So, I mean, essentially what this article is about is that the US are using energy supply through natural gas to try and get Germany and other countries to, you know, adopt, toe the line, basically. And I guess no one here needs reminding that the detonation or the destruction of the Nord Stream gas pipeline last year was probably out of the US, at least US and NATO countries were heavily involved in that, even though it's the finger's been pointed at Ukraine, but there's no way Ukraine had the technology to do that operation in the proximity to Denmark and Sweden. So, that was essentially turning off the gas for Germany through Nord Stream. So now they're dependent on buying this from the US, liquid natural gas, or at least that's a very big source, and the US is producing huge amounts of liquefied natural gas now in the last few years. So US is essentially energy sufficient in terms of petroleum and gas, which it wasn't for the last decades, but now it is. And so as soon as Germany tries to bring in legislation that might, you know, restrict the ability of certain powers to use mind control technologies on large scale against populations, then their you know, access to energy is shut down, or at least restricted, or the threat of it is. So dirty games on all levels, and unfortunately much of these dirty games are all coming from the US. There's just one last thing actually I'd like everyone to realize. So it turns out that this year the US needs to turn over about $7.5 trillion of treasuries, which all come up for maturity in 2024. The national debt for the US is something around $34 trillion at the moment. So it's more or less a quarter. And over the next 10 years, the US needs to turn over $27 trillion of debt. So what you have is a country which is in colossal debt to the world, and needs to turn that debt over in some way. If they can't sell it at the treasury auctions, what's going to happen is interest rates will rise, because they need to sell those treasuries at higher interest rates to get buyers. But China's not buying. They were one of the big buyers before, and they've stopped buying, or at least they sold, I think, $54 billion of treasuries earlier this year. And they're probably not going to buy as many as they used to, especially as the US is threatening China over Taiwan. So if people want to really understand what's behind all this, why can why can these huge conspiracies, how can they exist? Well, just look at that. You've got it on, I can send the graph if people want to see. It's shocking. But it's, you know, it all points down to money and maintaining control of global superiority, really, in many ways, superpower status.
I think we should include that. So please send that. And actually, I think this goes back to our point at the beginning of dirty tactics, and essentially extortion is what this comes down to. And what's interesting to me in the, because I've dug into this Havana syndrome and the EMF radiation quite a lot in the last 5 years. And what I was struck by is that the United States intelligence services recently on CBS News and the 60 Minutes program, the intelligence agencies stated that the Havana syndrome, the an ailment of the U.S. government employees at embassies in Cuba and Moscow, and that was described years ago, that was actually caused by not a foreign adversary, but pre-existing conditions, conventional illnesses, and environmental factors. And the government now is trying to hide the fact that the brain activity of employees in the embassy at the time, which is what this refers to, can be remotely controlled by electromagnetic radiation, and keep that option for the U.S.'s kind of secret weapon. Well, here's what's interesting about that. I put on the Truth for Health Foundation website a document from the U.S. government in 1976 about all of the body effects. This was from the Defense Intelligence Agency and the U.S. Army. 1976, it was classified at the time, subsequently declassified, and we found the article and put it on our website. It lists the biological and medical and psychological effects of all forms of electromagnetic radiation, radio waves and EMF, and now what we refer to as 5G. That document very clearly describes exactly how the radiation affects the body on all of our systems. And it was prepared by the U.S. government, and now they're trying to claim it doesn't exist. But that document's on our website. So there's no question that it plays a role. And apparently Germany is trying to bring this to public awareness, which I'm grateful they are doing. Dr. Eden, any your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Dr. Lee, it just occurred to me that the EMF, electromagnetic fields and so on, various radiations, of course, light is part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So that little bit I know, but I will confess, as a lifelong sort of biological scientist, my weakest area that's sort of current is this stuff, this EMF. What I do notice, though, around my own city and all over the place, certainly in United Kingdom, is the appearance of these masts, which I think we're being told they're 5G. I describe them as like a cotton bud. It's got quite a slender mast, but up the top is a wider section, cylinder, which is only maybe a tenth of the height of the pole, but a lot wider than the diameter of the pole. So it looks like a cotton bud. And they're all over the place. And I don't know what they do. And people often ask me, because they think, well, you're a smart guy, you'll know. And I genuinely don't. But I was just alerted to what you were just saying. And I must read that document about, was it Havana syndrome, a role of EMF in illness, because I've had other people speak to me and say, you must investigate this. And I've thrown my hands up to say, I don't even have foundational knowledge in this area, but I think I should start to acquire it, because what are they doing around our cities? They're within 100 meters of my house. I can see one out of the window. What are they doing? You know, we're told it's to do with 5G and mobiles, but I know other people who tell me that their mobile phones, when they're away from Wi-Fi, have never been so bad. So it's like, that doesn't really tally with the idea that they've added something that augments communication. So it makes me think, well, what else are they for? But basically,
well, you're right.
I'm alerted to the possibility of something that I'm not routinely drawing attention to it because I don't know anything about it. And I don't see too many other people, but you have just reminded me.
Well, I've actually treated some patients who've had EMF-induced damage, were targeted. One was a special forces military service member, and he knows exactly where these EMF attacks occurred. And, of course, he was on a deployment and couldn't disclose that location to me. But, no, it's very real, and I've dug into it extensively medically over the last 5 years in particular. And, in fact, we've done several programs on it, and there are a number of resources on our website that are from these older documents that were prepared by different governments. I found guidelines from the Austria Medical Society from 2012 about the diagnosis and management of electromagnetic radiation syndromes, the 1976 extensive document prepared by the Defense Intelligence Agency and the Department of the Army. That's on our website. There were other medical guidelines published by other medical societies in Europe between roughly 2010 and 2016. Research on this began in the 1950s and 60s, and it's extensively documented. We have just scratched the surface in all the resources we've put on our website, and I've been looking at the classes of damage that are caused and what are some of the treatments, both vitamins, nutraceuticals, hyperbaric oxygen, prescription medicines. We actually are working on an EMF radiation injury treatment guide that we'll have published toward the end of the year, this fall.
Yeah. And I think it'll be very important. I've got this sense that I really should know more about this because,
well,
I know it's all speculation, but people have said to me, you do
speculation.
Know.
It's not speculation. It's all well
documented. Not the speculation of damage. The speculation I was referring to, someone has said that they anticipate at some point we'll be told there's a pandemic or whatever, cow flu or something, but then they'll, you know, they can use 5G to make you ill.
And yes, exactly.
So that's
That already happened in COVID. There's a research paper published by Rubick and Brown that is an extensive review of exactly that connection. And it's very well correlated epidemiologically. So that's one that we have on our website. I've presented it in programs, done whistleblower reports on it. And we started bringing this to the public forum in spring of 2022, because it was very clear that they would use the capability of electromagnetic radiation that they could control to trigger the same symptoms in the body that occur with what's purported to be viral illnesses. And we started doing programs on it literally 2 years ago.
Yeah, great.
With exactly that point about the agenda is to make people think it's an infectious illness when in fact it's actually an EMF radiation-induced illness and damage to the body. It's all well-documented. And I think you'll be surprised at how clear the medical correlations and epidemiological correlations are.
Highly motivated to learn more. I'm not being skeptical. I'm highly motivated to learn more. And just confessing that I start from a low base, so I can't be an expert. I will be a student.
Well, in a sense, I started from a very skeptical base. Although I had training in radiation oncology at the part of my early training during my internship and residency, so I was familiar with radiation physics. And one of the reasons I didn't do more of that is that I'm not a mathematician and physics are not my forte. But point is, I had some background in that. but didn't have a lot of background in EMF, which is different from ionizing radiation.
Yeah.
Which is what we use for radiation therapy medically. But I did start really digging into it in the last 5 years and stunned at the documentation that's there. And then when Rubick and Brown published their article about the correlations epidemiologically between the outbreaks and deaths, ostensibly from COVID, and they were highly correlated with cities that had rolled out massive 5G ramp up at the same time. There's a lot of detail on that in their paper, which I will send you and post with the show. And we've done lots of shows on this already in our archive, both in Faith Over Fear, where I put together graphics that showed these overlap of symptoms and syndromes, and where I talked about the treatment. And then, so I had visual graphics. And then I've done programs on it with experts on the Whistleblower Report. So there's actually a lot of information that we need to start bringing out again. Yeah. And thank you for bringing that up.
Glad I did.
Well,
thank you.
We've really covered quite the gamut today. Dr. Gilthorpe, you had a comment.
No, I'm also quite naive in terms of different types of EMF and how they can be used to control people's feelings and people's health. But I know it exists, and I'm sure those things have been thoroughly researched for many decades. So those technologies do exist. But in terms of 5G, yeah, it is a military grade technology. It was devised as such, and it can be used to target somebody or an object within about a meter. So those towers that you refer to, Mike, are tunable and steerable, so they can lock in on someone within a very short distance. That's how some of these COVID tracking apps were used, not just from phone to phone contact through Bluetooth and those technologies, but also you can pinpoint the position of somebody using a 5G tower. And you can also, the power that exists in one of those could essentially fry somebody. You could kill somebody with them if you tune the power of that tower onto an individual.
Wow.
So this is not required, ladies and gentlemen, for so that you can watch Netflix at full speed when you're cycling on your bike on the way to work. These are technologies that aren't needed for the internet. You could get all those things to work quite happily at 4G. And that uses much less power. You need many fewer masks because they work over longer distances. The higher the power, the shorter the range. So this is not, these are not being put out there for our own good, unfortunately. And that much I understand. And another thing I'd like to add, there was all this, misinformation really about what was in the shots, what was COVID, was it 5G radiation, causing that. And I think a lot of that information is put out in a way that is partially true, is partially untrue. But what it does is seed a huge amount of confusion in people that are actually questioning why these technologies are being deployed and what they may be capable of. Because people got sick of whatever in places where 5G doesn't exist. And therefore, it's clearly not only 5G that's involved. But I think once they muddy the water, it ruins any serious discussion about what's potentially can happen and what they're being used for. This is classic disinformation techniques to try and stop us, formulating an effective defense against these technologies that are being rolled out, and they're not for our own benefit, for our benefit. That's for sure.
Well, that is an excellent summary.
Yeah.
And I just encourage people to at least look at the programs we've already created on this subject, making the point very much that Dr. Eden and Dr. Gilthorpe have just brought out again today. And I think it's helpful for everyone to look at the fact that these are multi-pronged attacks on multiple fronts, all being used as part of asymmetric warfare tactics against the people of the world by the powers that are trying to absolutely control every movement of our entire life, everything we eat, drink, breathe, and where we can move and where we can live and how we can purchase items. Everything is under attack. And these are all components of the ways that they are doing it. It's not an either or, and it's certainly not either 5G creating illness or COVID. It's all of the above, and it's environmental contamination with the cloud seeding and geoengineering, and it's environmental contamination with endocrine disruptors that have been dumped into the environment for the last 40, 50 years. I was writing about that 25 years ago. All of these things are coming together as combined assaults on our health, our minds, our well-being, and our survival, as well as our freedom. We urge all of you, don't just play ostrich to all of this. Listen to the programs, read the articles, and start sharing it and speaking up in your network. The power of the people does work, but in order for it to work, you have to speak up. If you're the one listening to this show, you become a voice for your network, your family, your community. And you help lead the information of truth, because it is through truth that we, the people, can ultimately save the world. And never doubt that a few people who are committed and passionate and dedicated can save the world, because when you come right down to it, that's all that ever has. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you will share our programs widely. Check out our website, truthforhealth.org. Sign up for our email crusade and our alerts, and be part of the solution against the lies and deception that are trying to destroy your life.
They're reminding people.